Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we talk about Saugatuck Underground, a social media platform created to help upcoming artists in the city and beyond. The Grand Rapids Boat Show opens on the 11th for the 81st year. We talk about a fundraiser for the Friends of Hackley Public Library. Muskegon Civic Theater presents their last two shows of the season, and February is Heart Month. We discuss that as well.
Get into this first conversation. I'm looking forward to it. You like art, you'll like the work by my next guest, basically via social media and more. Stephen Rabel in the house. Good that you are here, Stephen. All about Saugatuck Underground, a social media platform, and I'll let you finish that sentence. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Hey, good morning.
All right, thank you. Your Uncle Les referred you. Wonderful man.
Yeah, Uncle Les, we're on the radio. Let's go, champion.
There we are. And your dad's not that bad either.
No, he's great.
He's our producer in the corner. All right, Stephen, thank you for reaching out and here to tell us about Saugatuck Underground. First of all, tell us a little bit about you. Are you an artist?
Yes. I have been an artist probably my whole life. So I'm a Saugatuck native. I was pretty much born there and grew up in Saugatuck. And I am a reflection of the art community of my city, now kind of manifesting into becoming an artist in the last 3 years, like my life depends upon it, but ultimately taking the foundation of what I was raised in and my culture and extending it with what abilities and talents that I have and raising our people up.
Nice. And hence you go with what we know, social media and Saugatuck Underground. What is this all about, Stephen?
So Saugatuck Underground is an art collaborative. It's a social media platform for artists and alumni and people that are gravitating and the vibration of the energy that we're putting out to have a place where they can heal, can grow, can have a place of belonging. And express themselves and create art, find themselves as individuals and create art that's not ruled by time or space. And it's been absolutely amazing. It's Saugatuck Underground is a social media platform. It's a brand. It's my artist name. And I am, like I said, a representation of the culture that I grew up in. I was very fortunate to have parents that had me in arts and ballroom dancing, painting with the James Brandis classes as a kid. Oxbow School of Arts is something I attended. I got a college at Southwestern Michigan University in the arts
college
and oil and acrylic
arts,
painting.
I see that, yep.
And now I'm in the pursuit of making my dream real and becoming an artist. And now I've learned that I can spark fire inside of other people and artists as well.
Saugatuck Underground, then, this art collaborative, how does one in the community, I guess, get involved, first of all?
Google it, and then you join one of the social media sites, and when people kind of get into it, or what is Saugatuck Underground, they see me wearing the hoodie, and so what is that? And I'll have them go and join the site, and then that's where other artists will post their work on a different platform. And we've accumulated thousands of people so that different artists, and typically I'm the underdog, right? So I'm always rooting for the underdog. So artists that are vulnerable or are shy or are not sure how to put their work out in front of thousands of people, we've created that platform for them to come in and share it and get feedback from all types of different diverse people and backgrounds and cultures. And the Saugatuck Underground is not bound by religion, by politics, by social status. I mean, we have dishwashers to doctors and state representatives and bartenders, and the social status doesn't matter. It's the love of the game that what we all kind of come together and focus our intentions and energy on.
Where does a financial gain happen? Is this a hobby or is this your, again,
this
brand?
Is a hobby. Okay. I have 5 years to make it, to keep it a hobby, yes.
For you. And, of course, following your passion. You sent me a couple examples of your work, and I'm just going to have you describe them because some of them, here's one, decide, heal, grow, and create your future. You have some verbiage. You have some black and whites. What's this?
So that's something that we do. I do videos of pictures that I do, and there's a story behind it.
This is all your personal work?
Yeah, yeah. Those are my pictures. Okay. And I'll put together slideshows on TikTok and then match up the music to emotionally connect. But all the slides are a picture. I'm telling stories. Like I think the one that you have right now is a black and white story, right? Yes. That, and this is kind of promoting the brand that we have of the shirts and the hoodies, promoting the thought process, and then also promoting Saugatuck, and that's my muse, so to speak, is the landscapes of the community is what I have to work with. And I go around, I take pictures on a daily and try and tell different stories with based on emotion. So I'm an emotional-based photographer. So what that really means is to be able to heal myself instead of doing unhealthy things that I typically have done in my past, I've used my art to heal myself, to use that instead of when I'm uncomfortable or I'm anxious and I don't know what to do, I'll go out and I'll create. And that's how I've learned how to start to heal myself and become the person that I'm meant to be.
Decide, heal, grow, and create your future. I am keeping that for sure.
Yeah, we are the future.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're getting older, but we're, you know. Tell me about the other example that you sent me that is has some color to it and some boats.
Oh, yes. So that one I love. Those are both, like I do it every day. So those are two that I did that day that I sent you. That is a reflection of the summer, the more exciting parts of Saugatuck that the tourists get to see you coming in with the boats. I remember I'm teamed up at Capizio Studio in Saugatuck. And I remember when I first went in and kind of said, hey, I'm an artist. Would you like to have some of my stuff on your wall? He kind of went through and went through the pictures that I had. And he was kind of saying, hey, is there any way you can get more color in some of this? And that was the product of me learning how to edit and then putting that flair into the pictures to like almost moss to a flame that people see the pretty and then they say, well, what is this? Let's check this out. And then they familiarize with emotion based on, I remember where this is. I've been here or I've never seen anything like that. And I love the lakeshore and I'm connected to the water or Saugatuck or boats or it's neat. So one of the things that I do is I put my emotions into it. Like I was saying earlier about going in and healing, right? So when you're in pain, your perspective changes. The truth is really what matters when you're in pain. And when I'm in emotional turmoil, that is the best time for me to go out and take pictures and capture the moments of our landscape, right? Because my perspective has changed. So when my perspective's changed, I see things different. When I see things different, I take photographs differently. And I've figured out how to put my emotions in the pictures so when people see the pictures, hopefully the thought is that they have an emotional connection to it. And they may not know what the emotion is, but they can feel the energy to it. And that's the emotion-based photography that I'm building right now.
Well, I'm joining your Saugatuck Underground group here, so hopefully I pass the test. And I'm just, so you Sally Irwin, what does she have to offer? Here's one from a Patsy. Hi, all. I just wanted to introduce myself and share a photo I took. I lived in Saugatuck, .. So, yeah, salam and more. And it just... You're right. It's a platform. Positive.
It is a platform.
I trust you'll weed out the negative.
Yeah, it's not. It's not all artists either. It's not all people from Saugatuck. I mean, we've kind of blown up with our cities, starting in Saugatuck and like Fenville, Holland, Grand Rapids, okay. South Haven, Allegan, Hamilton, Ganges. And now Grand Rapids and Chicago are our fastest two growing cities. Which is exciting. Like I at first I was kind of like, what did I do wrong? Where all these thousands of people are joining. And I've never experienced anything like that. And then once you have the city has your back, the mayor has our back, the galleries have our back, the alumni have our back, the locals have our back, and now surrounding cities makes you turn it up a whole nother level. If all these people are going to pay attention, then let's give them something to check out. And hopefully inspire other people and artists as well, especially before the AI movement that's coming.
Yeah. We're all hearing of that. Hopefully this microphone stays in front of a human face, as they say. Looking to say our goodbyes, Stephen. Remind me, you have some pretty cool swag here, too.
Yes. We started with T-shirts, black, simple black T-shirts with the name on the front to kind of help promote what it is that we're doing. Yep. As soon as we put the first one on social media, it took off. I've been making T-shirts and hoodies ever as fast as I can make them. We get them out in the community and help promote what we're doing. So we just recently had Joss and Jace.
You got to meet. I invited them in, but I think they had too much on their list.
Yeah, they were busy. But 22-year-old kids in the pursuit of their dream. It was absolutely amazing meeting them and seeing the energy that they brought to whatever that they did. And we were lucky enough to get some hoodies on them. And they went out and did videos in my favorite town, Saugatuck, wearing their stuff. And I think we gained probably 6,000 followers in 2 days because of them just wearing the hoodie.
It's where you are, and it's the collaborative, that art collaborative. Stephen Rabel, one more time, how do we find out more information about your mission and your brand?
The best way to find out, if you're really interested in going, Google it. So we're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook groups, and all this stuff, and just plug into whatever social media platform that you like the best, and just kind of feel it out and get in where you fit in. If it feels like something that you're called to be a part of, please post your work as an artist. Or we have animal lovers, we have flower lovers, we have sunset lovers. It doesn't really matter if you're an artist or not, but just being around people that are in the pursuit of their dream, there's something about that energy that can just spark something inside of you to find what it is that you do. I realize in talking to thousands of different people is everybody's good at something. And to be able to nurture and develop and be excited about it and being around other dreamers is what we're doing. The brand, if you want to get swag, get Lucia's World Emporium across from the Sandbar downtown Saugatuck carries our brands. And they can even ship if you're interested, just get a hold of them. Or if you really want it, you can get a hold of me through one of the social media platforms and we can figure something out.
It's that DM to Stephen Rabel. All right. Thanks for the swag, for the conversation, and the inspiration on behalf of Saugatuck Underground. Take care, Stephen.
Thank you.
February 11th through 15th, the place to be, the Grand Rapids Boat Show, DeVos Place. 81 times the show has come, and go again. Let's talk to you, Ben Nielsen, show producer, on behalf of this wonderful experience. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
All right. I wonder which boat you'll take home. Maybe Queen of the Show, do you think?
You know, as much as I would love the Queen of the Show myself, I think it might be a little bit out of my budget. But still a fantastic boat, obviously. And there's going to be boats there for everybody. So something for everybody to enjoy.
Well, we'll get into Twiggy the Squirrel here soon. But looks like we're talking next week, the 11th. What is it that makes this Grand Rapids Boat Show come 81 times?
You know, there's a few things around the boat show. Obviously, the boats are there for purchase, and you know, obviously, it's a huge economic driver of the boating industry that's taken place here for 81 years in downtown Grand Rapids. And so, you know, we're happy to have our 81st annual event happen again here. You know, but it really is all about the boats and everything that happens. And for a lot of people in the Grand Rapids area and around there, it really is also kind of a sign of spring. You know, so you come in there, you smell the boats and the boating, and it really is just a reminder of spring and summertime in Michigan.
Very cool. All right, so how does it work as I look at next Wednesday, the opening day?
Yeah, absolutely. We open up at Wednesday at 2 o'clock and go till 8 o'clock. Thursday, we're noon to 8. Friday, noon to 9. Saturday, 10 to 9. Sunday, 10 to 5. And so, you know, obviously a lot of opportunity to get down there and see all the boats. And, you know, maybe if it's, you know, a boat that you're not interested in this year, maybe you just purchased one recently. You know, obviously there's a lot of other things there as well. Everything to kind of go with boating. So whether it's life jackets or tubes or ski ropes, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes with boating will be there as well.
Very cool. What is Queen of the Show? Who is this? I don't think it's a human.
It is definitely not a human. Definitely not. It is made of fiberglass, and it is going to be a 43-foot pursuit. The model number is the S-428, and it's brought to us this year by Wallstrom Marine. You know, gorgeous boat. You know, 1,800 horsepower drives this thing, which is, you know, pretty incredible. So it's a great big giant motor yacht that people can come down there and look at and see and, you know, kind of think about what it might be like to have one of those or maybe even buy one of those. But it's not the only big boat that will be there. There'll be a lot of other big boats there for manufacturers like Tierra and Robalo, Boston Whaler, Pursuit. You know, a lot of the other big boat manufacturers will have their models down there as well.
Very cool. All right, tell me, remind me about Twiggy, the water skiing squirrel.
Yes, we have to touch on that. So a little bit of absence here from Twiggy. You know, Twiggy was busy, you know, had other commitments. But this year we're lucky to have Twiggy back at the show. So Twiggy the water skiing squirrel will be down there, you know, all 5 days of the show, performing daily. You can get the schedule on our website, which is grbocho.com. But they will be down there with Twiggy doing performances and something obviously that for the kids and the adults, something great that you want to see.
Ben, what is this sports tube truckload sale?
Yeah, that's brought to us by HO Sports, and it's the tube truckload sale in conjunction with Action Water Sports, who's kind of our local dealer. We set that up down at DeVos Place, and what they do is, you know, HO Sports is a tube manufacturer. We take all of those tubes, we blow them up so that they're inflated, and they're on there to display some of the best deals of the year on those tubes. You know, they ship them to your house. You don't have to try to carry this big box out of the show. And really a great place to buy that. And part of the reason is when you go to buy a tube, typically they're in a box and on a shelf and you go, oh, you know, I mean, I think that looks good, you know, but you don't really know what it looks like. Here you can actually see them all blown up, right? So you can, I have the kids jump on them. It does become kind of a nice, you know, fun kids activity as well. They're jumping around on the tubes. And so, you know, really a great opportunity to, you know, get some of those boating accessories.
81st annual Grand Rapids Boat Show comes next week, February 11th through 15th, DeVos Place. Ben Nielsen on the line. Tell me more about the classic boat display and the antique work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be brought to us again this year by the Water Wonderland chapter of the Antique and Classic Boats. These guys do a fantastic job and really is one of the best antique and classic boat displays that you'll find at any show throughout the country. They do a wonderful job. And these are, you know, a lot of the older model boats that have been restored. They're really works of art. So, you know, obviously you can come down, talk to these guys. You know, maybe it's something that interests you and it's something that you'd want to do going forward or just simply to enjoy. And they've got history on all these boats, right? So they can kind of tell you, you know, when it was purchased and, you know, kind of the backstory of everything and really just some classic boats on display there as well.
You bringing back Don Middlebrook?
Absolutely. Don will be there in conjunction with our Key West Crab Shack. You know, we love having Don down there. Obviously, his music really kind of lends itself to the boating lifestyle and kind of makes that room come alive when he's there.
All right, let's see. The dive tank will be a great staple. You want me to bring my suit and give scuba a try?
Well, you can. You absolutely can. You can come down there. They've got a, you know, as it sounds, you know, a great big tank full of water. They can get you suited up into the scuba gear, and you know, this is really intended to kind of give you that first kind of step towards scuba, you know, and you know, what's that like? What's it like to have that gear on and actually go under the water? You know, obviously the tank's not 50 feet deep or anything like that, but you can get submerged underwater and kind of get the feeling of what that would be like and maybe decide whether that's something that would interest you going forward.
And you always bring the boating safety certification opportunity to us.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And there's, you know, there are different ways that you can do that these days. But, you know, being able to do that in person really does, I think, lend itself, you know, really well to really understanding what our laws are when it comes to boating. An avid boater myself, I'm on the water all summer long, almost every day or every day I wish. And I can tell you there's definitely a few people that need to take this class based on what I've seen on the water. So this is a great opportunity to get down there, kind of learn the rules of the water and get that certification so that when you do go out there, you are safe.
Cool. Anything else we need to know? Obviously, kids are encouraged. There's a complimentary trolley and more.
Yes, absolutely. All of that. Trolley service is going to be there. Discounted tickets for children 6 to 14. Adult admission is $12. Kids 5 and under are free. And we love having the families down there. That's all part of the boating lifestyle. So great place to kind of bring them down. Walk through the boats. You know, they love checking them out. It's a fun place whenever I see that down there. It's just really a great place to be. But all of these details that we've been talking about, make sure that you check them out at grboatshow.com.
All right, Ben, we'll be looking to ride your boat this summer. Thank you for your time, but maybe even better yet, buy our own boat. There we are.
All right, that sounds wonderful.
81st Annual Grand Rapids Boat Show. Next week, you'll see them lining up shortly, February 11th to 15th at DeVos Place. Thank you again, Ben. Well, this catches your eye in more ways than one. Bling Thing 2026 is taking place Friday, February 6th and Saturday, February 7th. Head to the Polish Falcon Club. I'll let my next guest talk about it because this is a highly anticipated sale of pretty cool jewelry, accessories, and a fundraiser. Marie Colvin on the line. Good morning to you, Marie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. 2 days of, hanging out at the Falcon Club, plus making sure that the sales are, I'm sure you'll sell out with all of the goodies I'm looking at. Let's do some 101s, Marie. First of all, is this a fundraiser for Friends of Hackley Public Library?
It's actually put on by Friends of Hackley Public Library to benefit the library programs.
And we know how important library programs are. How are you involved?
I work with the intake of the jewelry, the cleaning, the inspection, the carding. We also do purses and scarves. We inspect them to make sure that they're in good condition. This isn't a garage sale. This is a high-end sale.
Thank you for that reminder, which is really cool. Bling Thing 2026, yes, designer boutique, vintage shop, highlights, proceeds do benefit, as you mentioned, Hackley Public Library. So, Polish Falcon Club, where am I headed?
Okay, so the best, it's close to the corner of Barclay and Hackley Streets. You come off of Hackley and head east, and it's right there.
And this is, as we mentioned, a two-dayer, Friday, February 6th, Saturday, February 7th. What are my times?
Okay, Friday night, we open the doors at 5. This is our wine and chocolate pre-sale or early sale party. We ask for a $15 minimum donation to come in. And this is when everybody sees, everything first, before we, open it up to, on Saturday. Saturday we go from 10 to 2, and at 12:15, we put everything on sale half off.
And yet, I imagine a couple of the sales have already happened, so early bird, I would think, gets the worm. That's it. Bodacious Boutique. Let's drop some names here. Yeah.
We have some really high-end Jimmy Choo boots. We've gotten some Manolo Blahnik sandals. We got a good selection this year from a donor of, shoes and some clothes. And I don't really deal with the clothes, so that's not my area of expertise.
Hanging with the jewelry, which let's go back to, again, Bling Thing 2026. I might have missed this. Where do you get the jewelry to present back to us?
Yep. It's all gotten through donation. We put out the word. We ask people, if you're cleaning out your drawers and you find some jewelry, I haven't worn these. Bring them down to the library. You can drop them off at the desk. They get them to us, and we clean them and card them and give them a price and bring them to the sale. It's all donation. Same thing with, you got some higher-end purses. If they're in good condition, bring them on down.
And how important, why is it important to support the library?
Well, the library really is a free service. You can go in and get a book to read. You can movies. They put on some fabulous programs for both children and adults. And this is what supports those programs.
And are there some pretty cool, let's stay with the jewelry, some good buys and some pretty awesome stuff?
Yes, and this year we added the elegant vintage because it really isn't high end. It's pretty or it's older, and so we don't want to put it at our lowest price. So it's kind of our in between jewelry.
And obviously, here we are just a couple days before your Friday and Saturday. Do you still need jewelry, or are you all set?
We're set for this year, but we take it all year long. from, you know, from February to September, you can still take it to the library. We put it in our storage area, and then we start again in September for next year. So, yes, we're always looking for items all year long.
Beautiful. All right, Marie, details one more time for the weekend, please.
Okay, Friday, February 6th, 5 to 8, that's our early sale party with wine and chocolates. And Saturday, February 7th, from 10 to 2, with a 12:15 time of half off.
Is there a way to find more information?
Yep, there is a website, www.FOHPL, that stands for Friends of Hackley Public Library, .org.
All right, happy bling to you. This bling thing right around the corner. Your leadership important. Marie Colvin, thank you for this conversation to benefit Hackley Public Library and beyond.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's talk all things on stage. Love, Loss, and What I Wore. Don't miss this Muskegon Civic Theater presentation as we get the best in studio. Talking to you, Cynthia Bates Twining. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Shelley.
Hannah Morey, appreciate you as well.
Good morning.
All right, ladies, here we are. Wendy, you open on Valentine's Day, Cynthia?
Yes, we do.
Yes, that's why you
think of it as a Galentine's festival.
Yes. As well. And you run, looks through the 22nd. We'll get all that details as you are well into your last two season shows this with your next coming up. All right, Cynthia, let's stay with you. Cynthia Bates Twining, what's your role in Love, Loss, and What I Wore?
My name is Gingy. It's a play by Nora and Delia Ephron. And they have taken the stories of their lives and women they know and brought it all together into one piece. We do all kinds of different vignettes covering different aspects of women's lives through the clothing that they wore. You know how you have that favorite Easter dress that reminds you of, sometimes you can even smell the ham baking in the oven or whatever from that clothing, your prom dress, whatever. That's kind of the way that this deals with emotions and situations that women, all of us, young and old, have gone through. And it covers all ages, all different kinds of situations.
Yes, a play of monologues, ensemble pieces. Women clothes and even buying bras is a topic. There
yes.
We are.
Oh, yeah. That's a favorite.
Hannah, add to this.
Yeah, I play Meryl. I am a character who focuses very heavily on her shoes. And I really enjoy every single monologue that I've been in because of the intriguing nature of each of the monologues. Everyone who is there has a purpose, and you have to find that through line in this play. And all of the connections that are being made between the actors have been astounding to watch.
I'll stay with you, Hannah. All actors, women?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've got a wide variety of ages, including two middle school students who are going to be in this play with us. And we're doing it in an all new space. This is our first time doing it in the Frau Lounge.
And that is located?
That is downstairs. It's a bar and it's kind of treated like a dinner theater type of thing. So we're going to have some desserts, some drinks, stuff like that throughout the production.
This is, Cynthia, based on the best-selling book by, is it Eileen Beckerman?
Yes.
Yes, so there's a book that began this. Who's your director?
Amisha
Gross.
Thank you.
Yes. that would have been tough to remember, that's for sure. And how is she directing this?
It's a very unique style.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that the way, again, like talking about the through line, I think that that's something that we focused very heavily on, was finding each of the connections between the characters.
Yeah, because through line, maybe expand on what that is. That's
yeah, that's like a theme or something that kind of carries through the entire production. And we talk about all of these, like, family trees that kind of occur throughout the story and how each of the women are related to each other in a way.
Amisha also has a fondness for using music to find the core of the feeling in the scene that you're doing. So people may hear some background music in scenes. No words. We don't want to confuse any of us as actors or distract us. But music that may draw, music tends to draw emotions out of people. We all know that.
Yes.
And she wants to use that as a way to enhance the emotion in a scene, the feelings that run through the scene. Like the bra situation, we have a scene where two people are getting married. We have, we're using kind of some wedding music for a background. And she searches for music that is appropriate for the scene and things that we like as well. She talks to us about the music. So there may be some of that. Some scenes will not have music because there's not a lack of emotion, but the speech may be more straightforward. And she's looking for the emotion to come through in a more raw or more straightforward way.
Yeah.
Yes. And these are all monologues. So is it one at a time? Start with you, Hannah, or is there interaction? Obviously, a wedding may have some interaction, but is the spotlight coming up on Hannah in your character? And then we come back, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So we're kind of playing to the entire space. So there are quite a few scenes where we interact with other actresses. Sometimes they don't speak to us, but we do like hold each other's backs or touch each other's shoulders kind of thing, connect with each other in these scenes so that you can see the relationships forming between these women as well.
Yes. Cynthia, there on your website, MuskegonCivicTheater.org, there could be some mature themes here.
Oh, definitely. Language, we're dealing with periods, we're dealing with death, we're dealing with your first bra, relationships, divorce. Yes, so there definitely are stronger or more mature themes in this.
And Cynthia, are you playing one character?
Yes, yes. I play Gingy. You talked about the woman who wrote the book.
Right.
I'm what I assume is the character, kind of like from her point of view. I am a monologue that runs through the entire show, kind of the connection for everyone who talks about different clothing, different places, and then kind of sets the scene many times for the what we call clothesline scenes, which are the scenes that fall in between other monologues and brings these relationships out.
And Hannah, you have several characters you're portraying?
Yes. I play several different characters, but combining them all together and creating a timeline for this has been so helpful because viewing myself as one character instead of several different people has been more helpful for me. So I do make like timelines of what my character has gone through and all of the different things that she's experienced in her life from all of these different perspectives that do have something that are pretty shared and in common, which is shoes.
Yeah. Yes, nice. And mine starts from a young age and kind of goes through the entire lifeline. So you'll see different things happening. Like we have the middle schoolers, you'll see different things happening at different ages as Gingy is telling her life story block to block throughout the whole show.
Wow.
There's a lot of comedic stuff as well. It's not all drama.
I know
there's a lot of funny stuff. I mean, what woman does not live with comedy?
There is that. Although you want men in your audience too.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sure they'll understand and relate to a lot of things happening.
How many in general, Hannah, ladies are involved with this? Because obviously it takes a village and a family to know everybody's in this because you want to be in it.
Yeah. There's 10 actresses and then two of them being middle schoolers. And then there is our director, Amisha, and our assistant director, Aaron.
And Cynthia, you open, as we mentioned, Valentine's Day, the 14th. I think that's a Saturday, right?
That's a Saturday, yes. Saturday and Sunday that weekend. And then the following weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Nice. Good. Nice long run. Tell me, I'll stay with you, Cynthia. monologues. I had to do a couple monologues for my last Actors Theater presentation. You got to know your stuff. Memorizing monologues.
Yes, that's been my nemesis.
As easy as it used to be.
No, it isn't. At this age, it gets a little harder to find the cues within the cues. I find it's good practice for me. I mean,
good for
the brain, definitely.
Same with you, Hannah. With each character, you have to develop. Is that hard to switch back and forth?
Yes, I would argue it's tough to switch back and forth, but not so much with the monologues. I would argue with the clotheslines. The clotheslines are more like a straight play. So these pieces in between where people interact with each other, you kind of have to switch your brain from monologue mode to I'm doing a straight play with other people now. So...
Nice. Yeah. And you've got the pink T-shirts.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Tell me about the wonderful work of Muskegon Civic Theater in general, Cynthia.
I've been involved with Civic Theater since it was Civic Opera, way back when. Yeah, my first role was 1971, but so I've been around a long time. Through the change, when we went from COA and Port City Playhouse and Muskegon Children's Theater to Civic Opera, Muskegon Civic Theater. Age, you know, what can I say?
It's all right.
So it's been years. I love the people, the changes that we've made with the staff, and love the people we're working with. Christina McCloskey's just a special woman. Mm-hmm. Really have enjoyed working with her, and I think she's going to be wonderful. We have a new person. Do you remember? You must remember who the new person is. I haven't met her yet.
I don't remember her name. I have not met her
Hopefully
yet.
She's listening.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We apologize, but I haven't met her yet. So,
a new person, new staff.
New business end.
New president, I believe.
Thank you.
Yep. A new Kirk?
Yes.
The role, as they say.
Yes. Yep. Christina, I believe, is artistic director now.
Yes.
So we have a new managing director.
I believe that's.
And my deepest apologies. I just got an email on that, and
it's all good.
Nope, it's gone. At this age, it's gone.
Yeah, but you're on stage, so good things are happening at this stage. That's for sure. Hannah Morey, why come see the show Love, Loss, and What I Wore?
I think you should come see the show because it is a unique performance in this new space. It's something to be witnessed because there are all these different pieces coming together in such a beautiful place in the Frauenthal. Everything there is so ornate and it's beautiful to look around. And since we're playing to the whole space, you get to see it all. It's very lovely.
Nice. Same answer. Question to you, Cynthia Bates Twining. Why come see that show?
I think no matter what your age and your gender, you will relate to the things that are happening on stage. I think it touches just about every experience that we as human beings go through, grief and loss and joy and silliness. Yes. And we have a great time, and I think the audience will too.
Wonderful. All right, details on how to get tickets, please.
Yes, MuskegonCivicTheater.org, and then click the tickets link that's attached to their event.
Rehearsal tonight?
Oh, yes.
you're still working on memorizing those lines.
But when the lights go up and you're in costume, it comes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know that. Hannah Morey, Cynthia Bates Twining, thank you on behalf of your great team and Aaron Sharp with Muskegon Civic Theater doing great things. Break a leg and Love, Loss, and What I Wore on stage. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Posh Poncho on the line, American Heart Association medical expert. February, it's Go Red Month. Looking forward to this conversation when it comes to busting the top three CPR myths. Do you know CPR? Let's talk about how you could save a life. Dr. Osh, good morning to you.
Good morning and welcome from The Ohio State University.
All right, well, go blue, as they say, even though I'm an Indiana grad, so we're all Big Ten in the end. Thank you for
that's the truth.
You and of course, yes, you volunteer chair of the American Heart Association Emergency Cardiovascular Care Science Committee, and yes, more doing great things. Extended resume. How important is it to know CPR?
Well, I think when all said and done, if we don't perform CPR, one of the fundamental things is we're going to lose lives. When we give CPR, we improve outcomes for patients and for our families by 2 to 3-fold, which changes the whole story about cardiac arrest events in our homes.
I understand bystanders only intervene about 40% of the time. Are we allowed to intervene?
Most definitely. More often than not, the reason that bystanders don't intervene is fear. You see someone suddenly collapse. If you never had any training or anything like that, it is a moment which takes our breath away and really makes it hard for us to engage. And more, the ask now is for us to engage and have the intention to help the people around us.
Yes, and of course, as we're mentioning, immediate CPR can double or even triple someone's chance of survival. Dr. Ponchell, let's talk about CPR myths. Why is that important?
Well, we have a lot of things that keep us from doing things, and fundamentally, if we believe certain things are true, that is another reason and another way that we convince ourselves not to act. The first one being CPR is just for medical professionals. In truth, performing CPR is done by anybody, family, friends, anyone nearby who has confidence and skills and has the intention to save a life. These are the real first responders. They step in before professional help even arrives. Another myth is thinking that we have to do rescue breaths every time. In truth, chest compressions are really what matters the most. Now, finally, I think this is probably the most important myth, is that when we do CPR, we can cause serious harm by performing CPR. But the benefits of CPR always outweigh the risks of injury. Doing something is always better than doing nothing at all. And when we think about being safe, there's Good Samaritan laws across all 50 states that protect people who assist those in danger.
Your third, if I can tease, would we cause serious harm by performing CPR?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that we worry when we're doing CPR is that we're breaking ribs and things like that, and this would cause people to not survive. And in truth, those things could happen, but they are not life-threatening, and there's great data to support that concept.
Yes. What else is important? We know it looks like only 39% of women in cardiac arrest receive CPR from strangers. So you have that issue as well.
Yeah, so there is variability on how people in our communities get CPR. And the more we teach people and the more we tell them about what's the right things to do when you have these cardiac emergencies, a lot of those differences in our community will get smaller and smaller. And recognizing when someone suddenly collapses, do something, will help get rid of those things.
Any other steps that you'd like us to know when it comes to CPR?
Well, I would love to tell you how to save a life.
Yep.
It's really a two-step process to save a life. First, call 911, and second, push hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives. It's that easy. You can think about the Bee Gees singing Staying Alive the whole time.
I might even go out with Staying Alive, not to make light of it, because there is a need to be consistent in that. Anything else with recent updates? I mean, the American Heart Association, you are a very strong volunteer. We have our Go Red for Women event this Friday. Heart disease, still the number one killer?
Most definitely. And I think one of the biggest things we have to remember across all these things is so many times these events happen in our home. With cardiac arrest alone, 3 out of 4 events happen in our home. So learning these skills, it's going to save your family, your friends, it's your loved ones. So learn these skills, learn how to be intentional, learn how to save a life. You can go to heart.org/nation and you can learn more.
Wonderful. You a football fan?
You know it.
Go to you. Dr. Ponchell, again, leading Heart Association expert from The Ohio State University. One more time, what's our best way to find out more about, CPR guidelines for CPR and more?
Heart.org/nation.
It's as easy as that. All right, thank you for the many things you do, including saving lives. Take care.
You too. Take care. Thank you.
I'm Shelley Irwin. Your inspiration for the day, this fourth day of February, according to John Acuff, a dream you don't have to fight for isn't a dream, it's a nap. One changes your afternoon, the other changes your world. Keep fighting. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin.